Parisco of the Far.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to the Raf and Raf Rant. I'm Raf.
And I'm Raf. We're Raf.
Raf Parisco of the Far From Vesuvius podcast. That's Raf Pizarro of Calcio Napoli Club. Just rant about Napoli.
We'll just, let's go for it.
We're going to rant. We're going to match report. We're going to talk about the games. We're going to talk about topics. You leave comments and we'll read your comments out. Question.
All right. Quick stats.
Yes. Throw the stats up there. On to a nice little segment that we're going to call the Beast of the Match.
The who is Beast in it for the Napoli team. Let's see.
Follow us on Facebook, Raffaele Rispo, Ralph Pizarro, Twitter at RafaNapoli83. That's me.
CNCUSA26.
I want some feedback to the show. What do you guys want to see? What do you want to see more and less of? This is going to be a show for you guys too. I want a lot of comments.
We want to rant about something. Let us know if you want us to rant about something.
I promise you, we're not going to agree on everything all the time.
We won't.
We're going to yell at each other every now and then.
Come and rant. This is what it's for. We want to give you a space to let loose so you can do it here.
Well, that's gonna do it, Ralph. You know, were we boring enough for you?
I don't know. I think we were great.
Let's get to it.
Madonna do Carmen, aiutici tu.
And benvenuti, fellas and bellas all over the world. Welcome to another edition of the Raf and Raf Rant. I am Raf Pizarro, joined with my co-host, the Vicar of Vesuvius, Rafa Rispo. And joining us today, the man himself, Art Morelli. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, boys. Thanks for the invite. First cap. First cap on the rant. I'm excited.
Definitely, man. Good to have you here. Hello to everybody in the chat. Let's get this rant on the road, guys. Thanks for everybody for joining us. Be sure to get that chat nice and juicy like it was for that post-game show. But welcome, Ralph. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good, my friend. I'm doing good. Ready for another exciting edition of the Raf and Raf Rant. Also being brought to you by Far From Vesuvius. You can download the audio podcast wherever you like to get your podcasts and listen to us. Please, Tifosi, don't drive and Raf. Please don't drive and Raf.
Please don't drive and Raf.
Not on YouTube, anyway. Don't drive and Raf on YouTube. Listen to the audio. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's there. Art, I can see you're already getting a lot of love for the Venezia kid. Listen, considering it's a Napoli show, this is amazing.
Your first cap on the Raf and Raf rant, and you're in the opposing squad's kit. Now, I already did an interview with Marco Rinaldi, Venezia fan and great friend of the show, but here you are with the Venezia kit. I know they're very fashionable, but explain yourself, my friend.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but it looks a little different than what we saw on television yesterday because it's got the nice little wing lion here and the nice little flag here. I think they made. I heard they made a little boo-boo on their kit production and didn't follow the Serie A protocols. So they're going to have to make a change. I'm actually sad that I took the tags off and started wearing this because this might actually become a collector's item, not actually being the match kit. But being honest with you, if you don't follow me, I'll let you know, like midway through the match yesterday, at about 55 minutes, I took off my blue shirt and I put this one on as a little bit of a cornuto. And I think from that point on, everything seemed to turn our way. So,
right around.
So I figured I'd keep it going here. And, the Genoa kit, just so you know, the Genoa kit is on its way for next week.
Can I tell you, because I had a guy on Twitter ask me if I'd ever wear a kit from the North and or like from any of the Northern teams. And I said, absolutely. You wouldn't catch me dead with another team's kit on anymore. But I used to. I used to be like you, Artie. I used to buy kits. You know, I was an Italian fan too. So when Napoli were in the doldrums, I'd buy a Milan Maldini kit. I bought a Milan Nesta kit. I had a Juve Del Piero kit. I had Inter Vieri kits. You know what I mean? I picked the most fashionable one. I bought it. And then there was a time where when Napoli were in Serie A and I had all these kits, I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear a kit and post a picture anytime one of these teams beat Juventus, you know, and I got a lot of crap for that too. So what I ended up doing was I took my trash bin and I threw them right in the trash bin. and I put the Juve one on top of my toilet bowl. So I'm not like you, and I can't wear a kit from another team. But obviously, you know, a lot of these kits are fashionable, and it's cool to, you know, hey, listen, it's like people wearing hats of a different team, but it's, you know, it looks good and it matches what they're wearing. So I get it. I understand.
Yeah. I never bought, I don't know that I would ever buy a Milan or an Inter or a Juve shirt, yeah, to be honest with you.
Hold on, let me ask then. How far north? Well, I guess
where's the cutoff line in Italy
for the jersey?
The Lazio region?
Yeah. Are we central? I'm going to bring that out to the chat, guys. I want to hear some answers. Like, how far north will you go?
To where, at this like, point? Kits aren't worthy after. I mean, because, you know, wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever wear an Atalanta shirt. I don't think.
No, absolutely not.
I did buy a Nottingham Forest shirt this summer, though.
Ouch, Jerry Mancini, New York Mets suck. What's up with that, man?
It seems off topic.
Wrong.
That seems not germane to the conversation here.
I think you hit the wrong stream, Jerry.
Dude, yeah. I understand if you say the Rangers suck, but the Mets, come on, dude. Why? I mean, I'm a Rangers fan, but
I got a Brooklyn Dodgers hat on today. I like it because it has a big B. That's the only reason why I bought it.
Since I'm the biz.
Yeah.
You're the biz. Yeah.
That's the and the color, the royal blue is, or the cobalt blue here is fantastico.
I like it
here. Lorenzo Insigne Lazio.
He'll hold on to Jerry's going to hold on to Lorenzo Insigne Lazio all season long. Next year, he says.
Right? Let me tell you, Jerry. Hold on. Let me tell you. You're out there. I made it my business to watch the Lazio game. I was really interested in seeing what Sadi was going to do with these guys.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you.
I watched that boy Lazzari, man. He looked good. Yeah, he looked good that day. I know he was my beast of the match, Jerry. My beast of the match was Lazzari. Just wanted you to know.
I turned it off after 3-1. I guess that was the right move.
It was the right move. But how Sadi is it that they go down so quickly, and then he doesn't even panic? Third minute, down 1-0, no panic. I'm just going to write some notes down. And then they end up winning 3-1. But it's when, Jerry, and you'll get used to this, Jerry, it's when they're up 4-0 and they concede that late goal that he's going to lose his shit, start throwing things and throwing the pad that he's writing on and chewing and swallowing his cigarette butt. That's what's going to happen, Jerry. So when you guys are up big and concede late, and it's just a consolation goal against, you know, anyone, he'll flip out. So we're just prepping you for Saudi ball.
Guys, before we move forward, I want to get this out there because I forgot yesterday. Peter Scala, let's go Mets. But Peter Scala, congratulations to you. Yesterday, right before the game, more or less, he became an uncle to a wonderful little boy, Chris Owen. So big agouti to you, to your sister, yes, to your family. Agouti. Much health and happiness to the new addition to your family. And forza, Uncle Peter.
Awesome.
Blessings, bro.
Very good.
Just wanted to throw it out there. We are giving birth to so many new Napoli fans out there. Yeah, Miguel, right, not long ago became a father.
That's right, Scotto Di Luzio.
Yeah, Vittorio Acconi, the one who did the triathlon just recently.
Oh yeah,
father,
oh,
man.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. Right. So many new. We're gonna come out, Rafa. We're gonna come out with some baby drip for CNC USA.
We gotta do a contest for like baby stuff.
Baby stuff. It's out there. Believe me, it's out there. And we wanted to make something for them. I have a concept out there. I'm going to put it out a little later on. But super fun. So
let's get down to business, Raf.
Let's get down to business. Artie, I want to know, man. Obviously, you watched the game this weekend. Let's take a few minutes right now. I would like to hear your reaction. You know, kind of from the start, maybe leading up to the card and the injuries. Let's start in the first half and kind of work our way to the 90th minute. You know, how'd you like this team? Like the impression that you got.
Overall, the impression is just tough. It's tough, right? Because about 25 minutes in, we had to go to plan B and emergency mode, survival mode, right? Sure. With the expulsion. For the first 20 minutes or so, I felt like, you know, well, first of all, Osimhen looked on fire. Like, I'm not surprised he got tossed from the game because he was an animal. He was way too good. He was way too excited. He was all over the pitch. At first I was encouraged by that, but it obviously went bad. And so they looked like they were close to unlocking something, and they didn't quite get it. And then he gets tossed, and we got to go into emergency mode. So it's really, from that point on, it's really hard to give an overall, it wasn't a normal scenario to sort of assess them under. We got the 3 points. Like, that obviously is, you know, outcomes based analysis here. Like, we did the job, but that's a bad team. The bottom line is that's not really a top flight professional football club. And so, you know, it's hard to say. Like, Lobotka looked good, Rui looked good, like, but these are not serious players. I mean, all due respect, like, this is like, let's call it what it is. This is not a team that's going to be up for too long, I would guess. And so it's hard to make an assessment overall. We got the 3 points, that's good. And, you know, it looks like we're going to be without our center forward for a couple of weeks, and that's going to be tough.
We got Gaetano reporting here. I read only one game possible for Ozzy. I read this as well. It was some lawyer that came out as well saying that, you know, there was a similar event with Totti at some point. He only ended up getting just one game. So I'm guessing that he'll make it for the Juve game.
It wasn't a punch. Right, it was open hand, and like I can't remember the name of the player Hyman. Thank you.
Yeah, the same linebacker who took out Insigne when he was making a run. By the way, same guy.
I don't know what his height is, but if he was like a couple inches high, like a couple inches taller, that was like maybe not as bad of a slap as it looked. It was a reckless play. Look, I tend to be, especially on set pieces and in the box, I as an official, like, I would tend to be a little bit more lenient with the scrappiness in there. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you can't really argue. He kind of hit the guy in the side of the face and the neck, and you know, he's just got to be better. He's just got to be better than that. I think the takeaway for me is that Osimhen's just got to be a little bit more mature in that situation.
He can't get tossed. Was the red card warranted, or was it, you know, a little harsh?
I think it was probably a little harsh, but like, no complaints. It's a matter of preference at that point. Like, it's a judgment call. I can't complain about it. I can't complain about it at all. Like, if I were the official in that situation, I would have carded him for sure. And I would have given him a very stern talking to. And, you know, he probably would have got the second yellow, like, a little bit more quickly than I would have. Like, that would have been his last strike. But, you know, I wasn't in there. And so he got what he got. And it's probably deserved in the end, because it was a reckless play. He wasn't paying it. He was looking at the ball. He turned around, slapped the guy in the face. Like, it's just, you can't. Like, it's just a little scaff. I don't know. It is what it is. It's just unfortunate, really. And I hope people learn from that situation.
So the Justicia Sportiva comes out tomorrow, right? And we'll see what the ruling is. One game or more than one. I mean, I know it's like in other leagues, like the Premier League for sure, a straight red is almost guaranteed a 3-match ban. But I also feel like
3-match ban in other
including the match you were expelled from. In addition to
your match and then 3 matches after
straight red.
And I'm not 100% if that's, no matter what the gravity of the fat, like, you know, I mean, the red card's a red card, but I think if it's a straight red, I think it's the degree, like the degree of, you know, the seriousness of the injury or the foul or what have you.
Right.
But okay, I think in Serie A, it's different. I think in Serie A, now don't quote me on this because I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to look it up. But I think, and somebody else can correct me if they want to, but I think that in Serie A, if you get a straight red, it's one match, unless it's like spitting on the ref or, you know, finger, giving the finger to someone. you know, what have you. I think that
SS News on the
yes, so SSS not SSC Napoli News knows because he's out in England and he can tell you. Mm-hmm. But in Serie A it's different. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets two. I think it's a lot if he gets three. He's definitely going to be out for the next one. In my opinion, Osimhen goes right to Nigeria to play his World Cup qualifiers. And yesterday on the post match, I had mentioned that Nigeria's everyone's playing in the FIFA break after this weekend's games coming up. Nigeria has the September 3rd against Liberia, and they have September 7th against Cape Verde, both World Cup qualifiers. I'm sure he's going to get called up. Might as well just go. Go home, relax, you know, go play for Nigeria, come back ready to go, you know. Rafa, I think it's the best thing to do.
I want to read this out, Rafa, because I was thinking of this today too. Don Delgado tells us, Osimhen's weakness is his temper. I think it's a good learned lesson for him moving forward. And I agree.
It's good that he had it now.
Now, let's just get it out the way.
It's a little timeout. Well, it's hairy because of the Juventus situation. Juventus is on the 17th, you know?
Understood. But I think this is like the next step to his maturity. You know, it was soft. Maybe the red card wasn't warranted or what have you. Whatever your opinion is, it is. But you got to be careful. You can't give them a reason to do this to you. You know you're the new hot name out here. Don't give these refs a reason. Learn it. You know, if some guy's tugging on your neck, fall, just like everybody else does. I don't care. But certainly don't get a red card. I hope he learns from this. I hope he uses this as motivation to keep his head and – you know, take that energy and revert it into scoring goals and to keeping up his intensity. So
that's up to Spalletti, right? That's ultimately up to the manager. And I hope it resonates because, you know, kid's still young and he hasn't been here a long time. So I don't want to say pattern of behavior, but like, you know, there just seems to be some maturity concerns with him. Mm-hmm. And you know, just something to look out for. And again, I hope you're right. I hope he learns from the experience, and I hope Spalletti teaches him a nice lesson and we can all get on with our lives. It's the first match of the season. We got Genoa next week. That's another that's another bad team that we should handle with the secondary squad. And hopefully, you know, we put this behind us.
And Napoli Juve is the 12th, not the 17th. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Yes, it's fine. I mean, look, I always say that like your success is not necessarily dependent on your performance against the top clubs. It's dependent on your performance against everybody else. And so if we're not fully staffed for the Juventus match, so be it. We've been used to it. Yeah, and it's a match at home, and so maybe we'd be a little bit more comfortable. Like, yeah, you come away with a point. Like, I'd be fine with that. We got to beat up on everybody else. That's the main objective.
So Artie, in this situation now, how do you think? What would be the difference between maybe Spalletti in this case and Gattuso? Like, which guy would you rather have in a case like this, or handling this type of situation? You know, the team stayed pretty calm throughout, right? I mean, we saw them manage. They did a little damage control for the rest of the first half. They go into the locker room, they come out, they're still calm, and they end up finishing the game 2-0. How much of that is Spalletti? How much of that is the team? And could possibly Gattuso made something different out of it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Gattuso has a lot more to learn about being a manager and managing players of this generation. I think mm-hmm. that's one of his shortcomings, is I don't know that he's figured out how to manage these players. He was a very old school mentality kind of player, and I think that like that translates into his management style.
Okay.
And I think sometimes that's good, but most of the time that's pretty bad for this generation of player. I see Spalletti as more of a sort of savvy coach who might be more willing to adapt to the personalities and make his team, the team around him, more comfortable in those situations. Right. I think Gattuso's approach probably would be to not necessarily make his players more comfortable, defend them in public, obviously, but be really hard on them. So I think I would prefer Spalletti in this teachable moment situation. In terms of like how that translated on the pitch, like I said, like I think that Venezia's, we were just fortunate enough to be playing a squad that is just not quality at all, and we were able to do it.
Sure. We got out of it.
Yeah, I don't think it had necessarily anything to do with what Spalletti did or said. It's just we just have better players, and there's just a bad team on the other side.
Understood.
I want to bring something up.
Nice shirt, though.
Oh, hey, thank you. That's why I rubbed my chest. I wanted you to notice.
I was talking about my shirt. I was just saying, bad team, nice shirt, but bad team.
Take a look.
That is a nice shirt, though.
It's the polo. It doesn't fit me the way I want.
Can we buy our shirts yet? I'm not sure.
Not yet.
We cannot buy our shirts yet. Date to be announced.
Yeah.
I'm sure Amazon will be, you know, on fire, though, pretty soon. You know, before I go, let's touch on it, and then let's be done with it. What do you think of our kits, man? It's been a long time, you know. I'll get back to what we're talking about, but you said the shirt. Yeah. What do you think of our kits? You like them? Yeah, I thought they look great.
Yeah, they look great. They look fine. Nice. I mean, simple style.
I don't know. I think people were expecting this like fashion show, you know, and that's a reason why I wanted you on here is like to talk about the fashion show.
Yeah.
But I'm really pleasantly surprised about the plain look. You know, the little navy on the sleeves, the white with the gold is beautiful.
They have those small deets on it too. Those little
there's little details.
I just want a shirt that I can wear like out
to the club.
Not necessarily the club, but like just in a social. Yeah, I got two kids. Not going out banging. but like, I want to be able to wear a shirt like out. And about like, and those Kappa combat shirts, or even like, I mean, like, look, dudes, I'm not a big guy, and I get a large, and it's like I wanted to wear the Maradona shirt yesterday for the match, and I was going out with my family, and I was just like,
yeah,
I feel like I'm air sealed,
right? Like a piece of chicken or something.
It's just not a comfortable shirt. Like I was totally fine with them moving away from Kappa. I mean, I like Kappa as a brand, and this is a beautiful shirt, but this is not that combat. This is like the more relaxed fit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's different cuts that these companies make, and this is literally called skin fit. I mean, like,
Dries Mertens. Dries Mertens looks great in that in our shirt. Don't get me wrong. But like, I want to be able to wear it too.
I'm 100% convinced that
it's funny, Red Eye.
Higuain left because we came out with the combat kits that we came out in 2016-17.
He's like, hell no, I'm not putting because, this one on.
Well, we had the combat kits before that.
No, but this one was definitely.
They're definitely tighter fits. So that
16-17, that 90th anniversary one was just. So I bought it because it was. It was like one of the only ones left, and it's a large, extra large, and it looks like my 8-year-old kid Paulie's shirt, you know. but when you put it on, like you can see how it conforms to your body, and it's so like tight. It's too much, yeah. Way too much. So I've put on the ones after that, and I put that one on, and it's way different. It's just ridiculous. But anyway.
That Coppa Italia Macron one was my limit. The Macron when we had the Coppa Italia, that was my limit in regards to tightness to a shirt.
I'm in the minority on this one, but my favorite shirt probably of the last decade is that denim kit that they had in like 14.
Wait a minute. Nope. I'm with you. You're definitely in the minority. But you're in the minority, but you're in the majority on the Raf and Raf rant because you and I are on the same page. But especially the European one where they had the lime green. So they had the lime green around the emblem, and then the macaron was in lime green, and the numbers were in lime green. I thought that one with the Coppa Italia on it, that was a good one.
Yeah, Yeah.
For me. I'm sorry. Everybody hates it. But for me, it was.
I was into it.
It's all right, man. Yeah. Something different at the very least. I mean, at least you get that, right?
I wasn't so sure about Medet's shirt yesterday, though. The goalkeeper
that
shirt.
One looked right. Strange.
But that that's was a little what, Mountain Dew. That had a little Mountain
yeah,
Dew vibe.
Yeah, it did. It had a little fizz to it. But that's what I think people were expecting. Something like flashy and ridiculous and outlandish because it's a designer. But in all honesty, it's really nice. Like, it's the red, too, with the leite and white. With
the red, yeah, the red looks like a nice kit. They've always had, like, nice – you got a couple behind you. They've always had some nice sure. red kits. I liked. Right.
I think I just wish they made it might have put, like, the gold on the red, you know? Like, I don't think there's a stripe.
They could have gone blue with the red. Or did they? They might have, right?
I think they went blue. But I wish they would have done gold because those are the commune colors. You know, the red with the yellow.
It's true.
You know, and that would have been a nice touch for that. But anyway, getting back to yesterday. Spalletti's press conference after the match, when he was asked about Insigne being a protagonist and will he stay, this is a quote from him. He said, "I can add what he highlighted in this race, that he is a true leader who comes out in the moment of difficulty. After the misfortune of missing a penalty, he intends to shoot the second and gives an important boost to victory by putting the game away. It must be said that, mind you, this is Google Translate. It must be said that in the second half, despite the numerical inferiority, we understood what the decisive moments of the match were. I liked the team a lot in the second half." So he didn't really touch on if Insigne is staying. But he touched on the maturity of Insigne. Instead of losing his cool after the first penalty, saying, "You know what? 5 minutes later, give me this. I need this again at my feet." Instead of saying, "Hey, you know what?
There's no way he was going to give that ball up. There is no way that he would, in a million years, that he would have ever given that ball up. I'm glad that he hit it. I was concerned for a moment that he wasn't going, that he it was in his head. But I'm glad you don't have to. Have the why that word that we don't say.
He also goes on and states that he agreed with the referee, and this is before he got a yellow, you know, for arguing with the referee. But when the referee explained to him why Osimhen was sent off, he said he agreed and that Osimhen has to pay attention to his emotional reactions. He's a strong attacker, and all the defenders will try to help themselves by limiting his physical exuberance. He'll always have his hands on his opponents. So he goes on to say that he loves seeing the public again and that he thinks that the maturity of the team in the second half is what's going to lead us to many great things. You know, and I really feel like Spalletti is a big factor in their maturity. You know, I know Insigne is 30, Koulibaly's 30, Mertens is 34, almost turning 30. I don't know. But this team has matured. Now we need Victor to catch up, I feel. I think we need Victor to really latch on to the older players and see and gain that maturity level. Because if it doesn't happen, he could lose his cool more than once a season. It could be a downfall. And we really need him in this team, like Gaetano said yesterday. We really need him here because he's got the potential to be the Capo Carabinieri. And if he does, who knows where we can go.
Right.
And Insigne is saying the right things, obviously. I think it's good that he's. I think that it's good that he's putting a little public pressure on the number nine. And I agree with you. I think that you know, Gattuso, also famously known for losing his temper. Gattuso is not someone who knows how to manage the media the way that Spalletti knows how to manage the media. Look, Spalletti has had his run-ins with the media in his career, but the bottom line is what he has. It was by intention. He's lost control outbursts. Like I feel like Spalletti's outbursts in his career have been very much controlled because he's proving a point or trying to achieve a goal. Gattuso, on the other hand, I don't know. He just says what's on his mind and he lets it rip and it doesn't matter and it doesn't matter what the
finish him.
Yeah. And that's a problem. And so like I think that it's a good message to send to the kid that he needs to control his temper and he needs to be better. The team needs him. That's the right message to send. I've been a critic of Insigne and his sort of fulfilling his duties as a capitano. I think he has matured over the last, I would say, 18 months into that role, and I give him credit for that. I don't think he's going back to the sort of original comment in the quote, the Spalletti quote, Rafa. Like, I don't think he's going anywhere. At least not like this mercato. They have to be able to figure out a solution for him. It would be very weird for him to go somewhere else. Then again, before the season started, I've been on record as saying that, like, I thought before the end of this mercato, we would have either an Insigne extension or an Insigne sale. So, I mean, we still have a couple of weeks, I think, before the mercato closes. And so we'll see if those things are true. I would be very surprised if we don't get a contract extension before the mercato closes.
Well, yeah. And it doesn't even have to happen before the mercato closes.
Right.
It happened the day before Christmas. It doesn't really matter.
It's true. But I feel like going into the season with that, like, open-ended, with that loose end feels not right. Get it done before the mercato closes.
I'd like to
move on, because like you know what, what's not going to help? All the questions in the media, right? It's just a question that's going to continue to linger, and I think you got to figure out a way to resolve it, or else it's just going to have an impact on the team.
I'm curious to know if. Like Rafa said, maybe they wait a little bit. But I'm with you, Artie. The whole open-ended thing about this, it could kind of lead to a little bit of instability, which we really don't need. How much does it affect Insigne? I'm not sure how much.
I don't think it affects him that much. But, you saw the video.
But
I showed you the video yesterday, right?
Rafa, I would like to just get it out the way. Yeah. You know what I mean? And let's just move forward.
You're just giving the journalists another question to ask every week that's just annoying, where there's no answer. Like, right? It's either he signed or he doesn't. Like, it's not
right.
Really, it's
right,
like,
right.
You're just giving them fodder to fuck around with. Oh, sorry. Can I
say that's all right. Right? No, we let off of it's PG-13.
We got you on late. The kids are in bed. We can go
ahead. Yeah, it just gives them fodder to mess around with. I just think you gotta get it done. And how far off are they? Like, Insigne also, by the way, has to be a little bit reasonable with what he's asking. Like, I mean, he's got to know what he's getting into, right? Like, he 6.5. What does he want? 6.5 million. Like, how far off?
I think it's about 5.5, because you see the journalists do a good job trying to trigger your emotions. So back when it was, 5 or 5.5, now it's almost 6. You see the way they start writing these articles.
Exactly. That's the thing. They just want to push buttons. So I just, 5.5.
Approximately 11 million a year gross. I mean, at 30 years old,
it's a lot of money, man.
I think if anyone
relative to our wage budget, again, you have to understand the context of the situation that you're in.
Absolutely.
If he wants to get paid, he should have never fired Mino, and he should have went somewhere else.
Or at the very least, take care of this before.
I don't think that's what drives him, guys. I don't think that's what drives him.
I agree with you, but then why can't they get a deal done?
Because I'm sure he's. If it were me, I feel like Insigne is, especially after coming off of winning a Euro and, having one of the best seasons of his career, literally, he should get paid. I don't think he wants Napoli to break the bank for him, but I do think that he wants to get paid what he feels he's worth, but at the same time, I just don't see him going anywhere. I don't see it happening, and it's not like I'm probably going to butcher this comparison, but Messi leaving Barcelona, people have been talking about Messi leaving Barcelona for so many years. It finally happened and everybody was shocked and appalled, but it's not a secret that he was going to leave at some point. I don't physically visualize Insigne leaving at all. Like, I just don't see it happen.
It depends on how meaningful he feels about sort of all of the extras. Because the extras meaning he's a captain of his hometown club. He plays every day if he's fit. Like, he's not going to get there anywhere. Anybody who's going to meet his salary demands are not also going to be able to meet everything else, right? He's not going to get an armband. He's not going to play every day. True. And I'm with you, Rafa, that I believe that the other things are the extras are meaningful for him. Wearing that shirt is meaningful to him. Wearing the armband is meaningful to him. Being able to play every day and lead a club is meaningful to him. And so I think at the end of the day, he's not going to go anywhere. Because just the everything related to the situation is in his, like, is something that he wants. It's a situation that he wants to be.
Right.
And you know what? At the end of the day, like, ADL, he probably knows all this, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, so he plays, like, hardball, right?
You know, and so it's like, you know, I don't got to jump to any conclusions here because I kind of have all the leverage. Like, where's he going to go?
It's true.
Where's he going to go?
You would think at, you know, if I had to guess, let's just play hypothetical, Artie. You know, he was in Spain over the vacation with Immobile right after the Euros and things. I know, Rob, you say it, but hey, listen, I'm going to play devil's advocate. If Barcelona or Atletico Madrid come up and do offer him the $10 million and an authentic shot to make some noise in Champions League, and he feels like he wants a new challenge, why not take it?
Does he play every day in either of those places, though?
I don't know. Maybe. You know, does he have maybe that? I mean, listen, if they're going to be paying him, you know, $10-11 million a year.
If he goes to Inter, he doesn't play every day.
I don't think he moves anywhere in Italy, and I don't think he goes to England. I think Insigne is, like you said, he is a true Napoli Don, and we want to be by the beach. We want warm weather and good food. We're not going to England.
Yeah. You know, so. I mean, to your point, Art, I don't know if he doesn't play on these teams because, I mean, you saw Talk. I don't know if you saw this, but Talk Sport named Insigne the number one left winger in the world over, you know, Neymar, over who else was it? Who's the other dude that plays there?
It's a bold take,
but I mean, he did win the Euros. He is a good player. He does.
He had a fantastic season. I agree with you. You mentioned this earlier, and I agree. Like, I think.
I know what you're saying because you're right. There are super duper stars on those teams, so it's like he would miss more time than he would at Napoli for sure. But I think he plays. I just also don't see the drive for him to go elsewhere and win something elsewhere because. Imagine the shit he's going to take from Napoli Dani when he goes to Barcelona and wins a European Cup. When he goes to Atletico and wins a Spanish title and comes back and goes, hey, see, I left and I won, you know, blah, blah, blah. He has to win something with Napoli before he's going to think about going anywhere else. For me, as a Napoli Don myself, knowing, and I'm not in this situation, let's all, you know, I'm not pretending like I am. But if it were me, I wouldn't want to leave the team I love for my entire life before I win something for them. And it might not happen. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I stayed. I was the bandiera. I stayed, you know? And true. I don't know. That's just how I feel that, you know, being a genuine Napoli Don, I think we all can agree on that's probably how he feels also.
I'm with it there. Well, let's hope. Well, we'll see what happens, I'm sure, hopefully within the next month. But who knows with the nature of ADL and these contracts and things like that. But
one thing we didn't mention about the game yesterday, I'm sorry to interrupt, is the Zielinski injury. Do we have an update on that? That was the other thing, you know, and, you know, the silver lining was that Elmas got to play probably earlier than he expected to. And he had the decisive goal, which was great. And I thought he played well. So what's any updates on the Zielinski injury?
It was, from what I understand, it was a knock. Like, he got hit. What would they call it? A fancy word for, like, a bruise.
Like a Charlie horse? Got, like, a Charlie horse or something?
Something like that. I don't think anything tore or anything, but it might be a few weeks until he returns. So maybe 2 weeks. So he might miss out or 3 weeks, something like that from what I read. So either way, we're going to need that coverage, which kind of segues into the next topic because I wanted to talk about you know, some of these youth players that we had here, contusion. Thank you, Miguel. I appreciate that. And Gianluca, thank you. But I wanted to talk about, you know, we saw Elmas come in, and I think he is probably one of our more promising younger players on the team. I'm super outspoken on Art. If you don't know me, they practically call me Macedonian. I'm a big Elmas fanboy.
He's Pandev also, right?
I'm sorry?
Pandev also.
Yeah, I love Pandev too, man. I mean, just good guys, good, you know, they get on the field, they try their best, and, you know, they're not superstars by any means, but, you know, Pandev was a good dude. Elmas seems just the same, and I was just happy for him. Yeah, here we go, Ralph Bizarrov. That's kind of like the, thank you, Quentin, our boy here, our sound boy. But I'd like to get into some of the midfield now, because we got Deme out. We got Zielinski out. Spalletti used Gaetano yesterday, and there's still talks back and forth whether or not he's going to Cremonese. I hope he doesn't. I wanted him to stay. I was outspoken about this for a few months now. I'd just like to kind of dive in your head real quick and tell me, you know, who's your choice? Because there are some other names out there. We got the Sofyan... I'm going to butcher it.
I'm going to butt.
All right, I did it. I've been practicing all day. And thank you. And pat myself on the back. You know, and now kind of is there going to be this scramble for this next week, these next few days to try to, like, fill in these pieces? Or does Spalletti say, hey, I'm going to use these guys, just don't get rid of them. We have Unas in there. We have Gaetano in there. Like, what happens? Who do we use? How do we go about this? And, you know, what would be your decision if, you know, if you had the
I don't know, man. I mean, even before the Deme injury and even before the Zielinski injury, I thought we needed at least one more midfielder. So, you know, we're now operating at a deficit of three as opposed to that original one. Right. So I think we have a lot of problems. It sounds like Gaetano is on his way to Cremonese. I don't know if that's official yet.
Ooh, but, really? I didn't hear about that.
It's been back and forth, Rafa. There was a couple articles. Yeah. They're saying that they're waiting. But, I mean, at this point now with what happened...
It was nice that he got a couple of minutes yesterday. I'm ragging on Venezia all night tonight, but that was just I can't stress enough how much of a Serie B team that really is. So again, you can't really qualify Gaetano's performance yesterday in the few minutes that he Fair had. Enough. But Elmas looked good, and that's a guy, like, that's kind of a forgotten man at this point, right? He was bought in, what, the summer of 2019? So he's been on the squad for 2 years now and really hasn't gotten any consistent run. And every time I see this kid with the ball at his feet, he looks like a magician. You know, I was happy to see he got the goal yesterday. He got some playing time, which is a silver lining from the Zielinski injury. And so with Spalletti, who is much more offensive minded of a manager than Gattuso is, I really feel like players like Elmas and Politano, we know that Lozano already sort of took a step forward last year under Gattuso, but I like the wingers, Elmas and Politano, on both sides of the field, right. I think to really excel now. Now Elmas probably has to play the 10, right? Behind the striker. But he probably changes the formation altogether now with Osimhen. Do you play a more straight 4-3-3?
It seemed to be almost like he definitely put Insigne a little bit more central after the red card. He was certainly more central. He was almost like the punto at that point in Insigne.
Which makes sense because that's kind of what Mancini did with him during the Euro a little bit. So, like, he was comfortable doing that, playing more centrally. So that shift made sense. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the move to go with, if you ask me. I'm not so confident with Elmas in the number 10. I think Elmas on the left.
On the left with Insigne behind Osimhen in a couple of weeks.
And you can line up Insigne on the left with Elmas in the middle, but then switch it, you know, like like
it does give you versatility. Yeah, for sure.
Right. He can certainly kind of zigzag a little bit with
Insigne. It gives the defender someone different to mark every time, and maybe Insigne is a little faster. Yeah.
And I think he's going to have to rotate and be create, like, sort of keep the carousel going because, you know, Mertens is not fully fit yet, but, like, he's another player you got to keep in the rotation. Lozano's natural position is on the left. Insigne is on the wrong side of 30. So, like, while he plays every day while he's fit, he's going to need some spells here and there. I think Spalletti is going to have to leverage the versatility of these attacking players who can play a couple of different positions, because he's got a lot of bodies that he's got to rotate. Now, obviously, Osimhen did him a favor by taking himself out of the lineup for a couple weeks. Maybe do we know when Mertens is due back?
I know he was in Belgium. He went for like a checkup to see his arm. So, but there hasn't been any confirmation yet. He comes back for the next game. I'm not sure if he's fit to play even. Hasn't been a whole lot there that I've read about.
So Petagna. So basically, it's Petagna in Genoa, huh?
I don't know, man. See, so now let's segue into the next one. Now, like, we have Matteo Casella ask about Unas. Michele Scottiluzza was saying that Lozano on the left wing. I mean, here's the deal. Why not Lozano up top? Why not Lozano as the number nine? So, doesn't he do that for Mexico?
I'm with you, man. I've always said that he could play in the middle. I don't know why it was never tried with Gattuso.
I think that's a likely scenario.
We know why, Artie.
Hold on. We know why. What? What do you insinuate?
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Come on.
I'm busting nuts. Yeah. I know I was triggering Ralph a little bit.
No,
but come on. Let's just talk about that. I want to know, like, why not? Lozano did play. He was the punto for Mexico, if I'm not mistaken.
He's good in the air. He's good in the air. Can score with his head. He can score with both feet, I feel like. I would try it.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that, actually, because Spalletti plays with a false nine. You know, in a false nine role, Lozano will flourish. 100%, and he has played a false nine, so I think it could have.
Listen, I don't mind Insigne, you know, moving to the middle when he needs to. I don't mind him switching over and crossing. I actually prefer when he shoots to be a little bit more in the middle. When he shoots, I think his shot. He did it a few times with Italy, and it was the shot seemed to be a little bit more accurate. So I'm cool with that. But whether it's a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1, with Lozano being in the central, you still got Politano there. You could keep Insigne on the left. Either way, it works out. The central now that you know, on a 4-2-3-1, I would even go about and say Ruiz maybe could fill in that role. But it's going to be tough. I think now with Zielinski out, I don't know if you could play that formation anymore. Maybe, but...
Well, let's think about that, though, because you're right. Because if we were to have Fabian playing the number 10 role, which we know he can with Spain, you are left with, like I said yesterday, Lobotka and Gaetano in the midfield. And that's if Gaetano stays. If not, you can put Elmas in that position. But Elmas in a double pivot is less... I don't know what's the word. Less productive, I think.
Less effective, right?
Or less effective, less productive. Yeah, I really feel like the move to make would be you have Elmas on the left and Insigne in the middle, or vice versa, and then they switch, what have you. Lozano as you know in the striker position, and Politano on the right. And someone in here said Unas. We're forgetting that Unas is still with us and has not been sold yet, and he was ready to come on before. The second penalty where Insigne scored, when we went up, we changed approach. But he was ready. Kits were off. He was at the sidelines. He was talking to the ref. He was coming in. So like I said yesterday,
and there's been plenty of reports, Rafa, that he impressed Luciano Spalletti too. So
sure, absolutely.
I would almost keep him for that reason. I'd like Lozano kind of filling in both spaces, whether it be the wing or whether it be the striker. I think he can do either or.
He's another guy that's a magician with the ball at his feet, Unas.
I mean, he is quick, right? He's almost
of Elmas, right? Like imagine right. having those two guys on the wings.
Do you feel like Politano's almost right? And it's almost as if like Politano too is kind of like a mirror image of Insigne on the other side sometimes.
Yeah,
you know whether you know guys that help on D, they run up the field, they cut to the middle, they take that shot. Right. He does his little Tita G as well from that side of the field. So, and then you got Unas and Elmas, and now you got Lozano and Victor, both these two kind of speedy characters that, you know, give trouble to the defense, that stretch them out.
I thought Chucky made an instant impact yesterday.
Absolutely. Right away. I don't know if he got accredited for the assist, but he was one that he didn't.
It was unassisted. It was unassisted, but he should have gotten credited for it.
He made a nice play in the middle. Like he drew a lot of attention. He made a nice play. It was instant impact the minute he came on the pitch yesterday.
Honestly, guys, this is a perfect opportunity for this situation. You know, because we're not trying this out in an exhibition or a friendly preseason friendly. We're trying this out in a competitive Serie A match in week two.
And we have a legitimate reason to do so, right? Like
exactly.
It's not like we're struggling, and so let's try to mix it up a little bit. Like we literally are undermanned, and so we have a good excuse to like make that change.
Right? Before the international break, before the return, which is Juventus, I feel like this is a great opportunity to see what versatility we actually really do have. And so people could stop freaking out about the mercato. I really believe that in the midfield, because this is what you wanted to talk about, Ralphie, in the midfield, we're okay. I think we're okay. Now, I understand that, you know, you got Demme's injury and now Zielinski, who apparently is only going to miss a few weeks, because I just read it while we were talking. Right. It's only like someone else in here said it's only a contusion. And right. he should miss – he's going to miss Genoa, and he should miss the Poland World Cup qualifiers, which is good for us, too. Stay home, relax. Yeah, exactly. Stay home, relax. And, you know, think about that. You won't have Mertens out playing. You won't have Zielinski out playing. You'll have Osimhen, which is a little worrying because of what happened last time. Mm-hmm. You'll have Insigne, which is fine. But at the same time, you have the guys that need the recovery to recover. These gives them more time to recover without losing them for match play. And now we have a real legit, like Art said, a real legit reason to move these pieces around, you know? And I think because of the injury, we keep Gaetano, I think. And honestly, for me, I wouldn't want to sell a single person, which might mean we don't pick up anyone, but I really don't care because I trust in Spalletti now. You know, you got to put your faith and trust in the manager. You know what I mean? Especially one that's proven. Now, I put a lot of trust in Gattuso last season and the season before because I liked the guy personally. Mm-hmm. I liked him. I liked him on Milan. I liked him with Italia. I liked him as a player and I liked him as a manager. I liked that he got the players playing back to their potential.
He's a guy you want to root for.
Yes, yeah. I rooted for him. But now you have a guy with all that stuff and knows what he's doing. On the pitch, he's proven, has a track record, has won titles, has won, you know, things, got to Champions League, knows how to play, has Capocannoniere in his belt, has, top clean sheets in his belt. He's going to see what we have now, and it's going to set the tone for the rest of the season. Don't forget, Friday, we have the Europa League draw, and the first match is on the 16th after the Juve game. So we have a lot of work to do, and this is a perfect opportunity to get that done.
Absolutely. I still want a midfielder, though.
I'll take the left back over the midfielder.
You know what, though? Left back, like, it's hard to find good fullbacks, man. You know, they don't grow on trees. Like, I mean, you know, Mario Rui is very frustrating. Because he is utterly bereft of any kind of like he is a try hard, right?
Okay. Like he's a sweat guy, as the kids say now,
yeah,
right?
He's a sweat. Yeah, he's a sweat, he's a try hard. He has like very little skill. and quality. It's all effort. And I would rather that than a skill. I would rather all effort and very little skill than a lot of quality and questionable effort.
Questionable role.
And so, you know, I was not keen on the Emerson upgrade. I didn't think Emerson was enough of an upgrade to get too crazy about. I know that's not a topic of discussion here, but like, you know, I prefer us to get a midfielder before a left back, because it's just a much more important position. I think we're lacking there right now. That I'm telling you, I'm jazzed by the Amrabat rumors, if they're true, because I wanted him last year. I was upset when Fiorentina got him. I thought we were going to raid that. I felt like we were going to raid that
Verona squad.
Mm-hmm. We got Rahmani. That was nice. The other defender went to Roma. That was. I thought we were
Kumbula.
To both Rahmani and Kumbula, and we got Rahmani. You know, I thought the deal for Zakani was done in January, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened with that. That's a team that could go down this year. There's probably like six or seven or eight squads, I feel like, that could legitimately go down. And so maybe there will be another opportunity to get Zakani if they get mm-hmm. relegated, because that's another bad team. But if the Amrabat rumors are true, I would much rather ship Gaetano off to wherever he's got to go and use some of that money to get Amrabat on a loan. If that's what they want, then keep Gaetano around and not go anywhere else.
I think, yeah, with Lobotka there and Ruiz. Ruiz didn't impress me that much last game. You know, I've been back and forth with him. He was supposed to be our sacrificial lamb. I believe for this market, it was going to open up some space. It was also going to give us the funds needed to make these purchases, whether it be left back or another CM. That didn't really happen. Some people don't talk about this a whole lot. I know Spalletti is a guy, he speaks about using what he has. And I think that's a good thing, because
yeah, you mentioned it yesterday. You mentioned it yesterday, man. Like he came into the squad. And he saw what he had, and he was happy with what he had. Right. And I think that, like, you, to your point yesterday, Ralph, I really took that point and like went with it in my head. I was like,
right,
you know, there's something there where maybe we're not as active in the market for COVID is very, you know, sure. No one has to say it anymore. I'm tired of saying it. Everybody knows, so it's already a given. You should already know COVID F's with everybody's plans.
Everybody,
but you know.
Everybody who didn't have an oil sheik running their team, right, or exactly. Russian oligarch or something, right?
But you know just as well as you know as I do that ADL tends to like really listen to his manager first season. You know, he wants players, he goes to get them. He doesn't want players. I'm sure if Spalletti said, "Listen, you know, I really need this. You got to get it for me." I'm sure he would have gone to get it and done what he had to do to get it. I think Spalletti might have said, "Look, let me just get like Juan Jesus, and you know, maybe get me a midfielder at the end of the market, fine." And you know, again, we're not there. We're not back there. We're not behind the scenes. We don't listen to them and talk to each other every day. We only rely on what Gazzetta dello Sport says,
right?
Or Corriere dello Sport says, or what have you. Which, by the way, Corriere dello Sport headline this morning that just came out like maybe an hour and a half ago says that Osimhen expected to only miss one match.
So I know that was the report.
That was the report. So hopefully that's what happens.
You know, ADL got those good lawyers. We got like the Johnny Cochran of Napoli or something out back there or something.
You want to sit the potential Capo Cannoniere against Juventus at San Paolo at Maradona? Really? Do you really?
For that? Not for that.
It's really, just speaking about the mercato and sales and whatnot, they really, it's Champions League or bust this season, though. Like,
oh, sure.
Financially, it will be impossible for this club to sustain another Europa League campaign without making some significant sales. So... Mm-hmm. I'm okay with the move. Like, again, to your point, Rafa, if Spalletti is comfortable with the squad, the roster, and he should be. I mean, it's loaded with talent, especially attacking talent. Again, right. You know, midfielder, which we've talked about a lot, the fullbacks, which we've talked about. Otherwise, it's pretty much loaded with depth. So, like, you can't come into this situation feeling like you don't have enough to work with. So I agree with you. And you know, it's been said many times that ADL doesn't make a sale unless he gets the price that he's looking for. And so, you know,
he has proved that a whole lot, especially this month.
That's his MO. That's his MO. I think that, you know, he's probably made a couple of mistakes in that regard. I think he probably needed to cash in on the Plus Valenza for Koulibaly at some point. As much as I love him, I think he probably needed to cash in on Alan a little sooner. It probably would have been hopefully he re-signs Insigne, and I don't think that he will go anywhere. But, you know, if Insigne
should have sold Hussai to Chelsea for 50.
Yeah, should have sold Hussai. I mean, who knows if 50 was a real number, but still, like, if you were going to get 20 plus for Hussai, that move probably should have been made. He's made some mistakes that went against
25
the formula, the formula that he has perfected over the first decade or so of his tenure. Ever since he made the investment in Ancelotti, the last 3+ seasons or so, it feels like he's changed his mercato strategy a little bit and catered more to the manager. And we'll see. Again, if they make top four and get into Champions League, I think we're gonna be okay. We're loaded with talent, and that windfall will help us going forward in the mercato. But if we don't, it's gonna be tricky. Which is why I would prefer us get a midfielder now to try and ensure that Champions League place, because it's gonna be a tough fight.
Agreed with you, man. And even we have, you know, there's a couple of contracts expired. I think Goulam's contract is up at the end of the year. That's taken up a lot of space.
An albatross.
Yeah, man, you're right. And I love the guy. We all love him. And it's funny, every time people talk about him, it's so difficult to talk like that. I was even watching some of these shows from Italy, and anybody who spoke about Goulam said, listen, the time is up. But they did not say that very easily. They were really hurt by saying it. I think we all are, but at this point, it's like a big paperweight. I don't know if that's the right. It's in hindering us from making certain decisions. And
and I know Vin is a friend of the show, and he was on last week or the week before. Like, he's the one that reminded me of this. Mm-hmm. Our boy V. That, you know, the whole thing with the left back is like also includes the Goulam conversation, right? Like, if they went out and got Emerson, like, you know, that's like over $10 million in wages just to left backs, two of which are going to not play in Goulam because he's not fit, and Rui wouldn't be a starter.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, to expect ADL, like, I think the issue with the left back was they were going to move Mario Rui. And there were rumors that he was going to Ukraine or somewhere. I can't remember where it was. Maybe it was Austria, Bundesliga. I think the only way that they would have brought in another left back is if they could have moved Mario Rui, because you can't be paying three left backs on the squad, who are none of which who are very good or valuable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Emerson would have been a slight upgrade to Rui, but he hasn't played consistently in 5 years, so who knows what he is. Like, it just was unrealistic. So I think the thing that held us back on the left back side was not being able to flip Mario Rui.
I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. But my thing is, our backup is literally a child. Because Goulam right now is not ready. Even if he's not.
I think our backup is Di Lorenzo, actually, and Malqui plays on the right.
That's a good point too. You think Di Lorenzo could play on the left?
He did it at least once last year on the Gattuso.
I'm also thinking that Juan Jesus can be versatile and move over too.
Yeah, well, not so back. Much. Not so much move over, but like Spalletti can play a back three. I feel like you might see.
I said the same thing.
Could sort of see a situation where it's not like a full back three, but like you have Juan Jesus on the left. It's actually what I wished Mancini would have done with the national team is play Bastoni on the left after
Spinazzola.
Spinazzola got hurt because then you can sort of like Bastoni's good with the ball. He can run around and then you can kind of move into a back three defensively. Right. So yes, I think that maybe just the thing is Juan Jesus is just a bad player. It's just like he shouldn't see the pitch unless there's like absolute disaster. Juan Jesus, if he's playing, we have so many other problems that I don't like have to worry about like my expectations being smashed because it's so far gone. So I hope he does not see the field very much this year. Mm. I would move Di Lorenzo over to the left. I would move Di Lorenzo over to the left and play.
To be honest, I mean, we did it yesterday too. Like Gattuso had this going, you know, Mancini. This is just the style of the formation. There's a lot of times where it's really when we're attacking, there's a two back, and there's everybody moves up. You know, you have Koulibaly and Morelos hanging back. With everybody on the wing, like Chiellini and Bonucci did.
Listen, don't forget how much our wingers pitch in. I mean, Rui wasn't alone yesterday. Elmas was right next to him the whole time. And Insigne had to kind of play the central role yesterday, so we didn't see that much. But there's plenty of times we see Lorenzo Insigne track back and help out on D. Di Lorenzo doesn't do it all on his own. Look at Politano. There's always a pairing there. There's always people there ready to kind of pitch in, man. As long as we're not getting beat with these long balls and our small little defensemen just getting pushed aside like a child, as long as we don't start seeing that, for the most part, we'll be okay. And I think that's where having a guy like Koulibaly right next to him, a person of that quality, could make up the difference at times. You know, I don't want to rely on it all the time, but it helps. It really does help. And I think he K2's the man, bro, and I'm hoping he keeps everybody in line. You know, you saw him pick up Rui yesterday, like his son.
Rui is becoming a K2 meme for real. Like if he wasn't, honestly.
Oh man.
But to be honest with you, I agree with what you're saying, and you know I had a point. I just forgot it. It just escaped my mind. Unbelievable. Next. It was right here. Ugh.
We got it. We'll put it up on Instagram, Rafa. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We are getting to the hour mark, so I kind of want to cut out soon. Maybe we'll Artie. Do you want to put in a plug where people can find you, or any projects you're working on? You want to give a special shout out? Now's your time.
I'm just a regular dipshit. Just likes watching football.
He really is.
About it, man. I don't have anything to plug.
Coucho Cast crew, what up?
I don't. Shout out to my Coucho Cast crew and all the Napoli supporters. Thanks for having me on. I'd love to do this again. I hope I comported myself well.
You did great.
And I'll do this anytime, man. You guys let me know. This is a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
I'm gonna put on a little closing music, Rafa. I'll put on a little closing music.
I'll wear a Napoli shirt next time.
Please do.
All right, deal.
No, it's all right because you knew we were coming on to talk a little drip, so it's fine.
Yeah.
He is a Napoli fan, ladies and gentlemen. He is a Napoli fan. Oh yeah, Art, you are a great cook. That is true. I've seen what you can do. You share on CouchoCast, right? I've seen it.
I share on the
I've been on. I need validation.
I need validation of my.
I'm scrolling as much as I can to catch up on these chats with Matteo Bonetti and the crew, but it's so difficult with what I do. It's just so hard, and I don't know how you guys keep it up. Like, I really don't. But I'm in there. I'm in there every now and then. But yeah, and I'm happy that you came in. I'm really glad for you to come on as a guest and as a friend of the show. Please, let's do this again. Let's get a Forza Napoli in the chat.
Let's get a big Forza Napoli in the chat, guys. Christopher, welcome back, sir. Long time no see.
Hey,
I know you've been catching us on the replay.
Brought us at the end.
Hey, it's good to see you. Peter Scala again. Art is a great cook. Is this true, Artie? Is that true?
Yeah, man. I can cook. I know my way around the kitchen.
All right. No, you know, do it with the saute pan. I'm feeling that. Peter, again, goody to you and your sister. Much health and happiness to little Chris Owen. All right, we're gonna get him some baby drip. Quentin, catch up with Artie at regular dip shit.
Hold on. Where's Quentin's next one on?
Where the one after that?
Yeah.
Where?
Down. 925.
This one?
R.I.P. to the hairline of all Monopoly fans, bro.
I'm.
What do you? Man. Come on. Do I have to?
Forza Ischia from Vincenzo Bertillo. Welcome. Look at that lion mane he got.
Well, Vince is giving me a shout out. That's where my family's from, Ischia.
Ah, Ischia, you're an island guy. Ischia is beautiful. It's beautiful there.
It's my favorite place in the world.
Oh man, have you been there? I'm assuming you've been there at least once.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
great.
My family still has homes there.
All right, man. I'm gonna Airbnb you soon. Actually, we're gonna talk. I'm going to Italy next June. We wanted to go to Ischia, so hopefully, maybe I can meet you there or something. That'd be awesome.
Maybe.
You never know. Sempre Pita Scala. All right.
Even merda. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely not people's life, man. But yeah, big thank you again to you, Artie, Rafa. Great show today, as always, man. Sure. Looking forward to getting back on. We'll be here for the post game rant. Same as Jimmy Kim Ischia as well. Is that true? I'd like to know. Forza Napoli.
Seems not right. We can probably Google that, but I don't know. Jimmy Kimmel from Ischia. I don't know about that.
My hairline.
Negombo. I love Negombo.
Okay. Hairline destroyed at 17, man. Look at that. All right, guys. Anyway, stick around, Artie. Don't go yet. We'll catch you backstage. But again, guys, thank you once again, Rafa. Great show. Thank you again to Artie Morelli. Be sure to catch him on Twitter. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you for the post game. We'll certainly see you next Monday. We're going to set up a nice episode for you. But thank you to the chat for joining us. Be sure to hit like, subscribe, give us a share, man. Help this community grow. It's been a pleasure once again. See you next time, guys. Forza Napoli.
Yeah. Forza Napoli sempre.